Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 7. Psalm 27 and the verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And our subject this morning is crying out to God. Crying out to God, as we have just sung, we have sung a hymn, which is essentially crying out to God, and these are the words that we find here in this wonderful psalm, Psalm 27, a psalm of David. Many of you will know of King David, the shepherd boy who would become king. Well, this is one of his psalms, one of the many psalms written or penned by King David. We are not sure at what stage in his life he wrote this psalm. Many of the commentators are divided, but some guess that he wrote this psalm when he was, just before he was king. Just before he was king, he was being persecuted by the previous king, King Saul, who was very jealous of David and indeed wanted to murder David. So David was on the run from King Saul and from being murdered by King Saul. But David trusted in his God. And this trust is very clearly seen in this wonderful psalm. Even just the first words really express that trust. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So David was being pursued. People wanted his life. The king, the highest person in the land, wanted David dead. And yet David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? His fear is gone. His fear is banished. And as we so often say, as I so often say, when we trust in the Lord, as King David did, when we trust in the Lord, there is no reason to fear anything at all. The Lord removes all of our fears, fear of men, fear of people, fear of any situation, fear of anything in the past, anything in the future. We don't fear anything. We don't even fear death because we trust in the Lord. This is the great confidence that we have, and this is what David had. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He has nothing to fear. In other words, he trusts in God. But verse 7 is what I'm supposed to be focusing on. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. So he is crying out. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. And this is so often what we say to people. When people ask you, how can I be heard by God? How can I make myself heard by the living God? How can I draw near to God? Well, we so often say, you have to cry to him. You have to cry unto him. This is what David did. And everywhere in the Psalms, we read this even in Psalm 28, if you're on that page, look at what he says in the first verse. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. If you want to be heard of the Lord, you have to cry to him. And again in the second verse, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee. This is the instruction that is given in the Bible, in the Psalms, in another wonderful psalm, Psalm 40. It begins like this: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. This is how we come to the Lord, and this is so important. Some people will say, well, what is a cry? If you had to define what a cry is, Well, how would you describe it? Well, there are many things we could say, but one thing perhaps that is helpful is a cry is a very simple form of communication. A cry doesn't even need words. A cry, anyone can do it. Anybody can cry out. Why, it's the first thing we do when we are born, when we are babies, before we know how to do anything else. When we are born, the moment we are born, what do? We cry out. So this is very simple. God isn't asking us to do something hard. He's asking us to do something that anybody can do. Anybody can draw near to God because all you need to do is cry out. You don't need any qualifications. You don't need to be a religious person. You don't need to be a pastor. If you can cry out, you can draw near to God. And this is what David is saying. And it is repeated everywhere in the Bible. All we need to do is cry out to God, and we can all do that. But there is, of course, a difference when we cry out to God. When I say cry out, I'm not literally saying that you just go into a room and shout as loud as you can. There is a special way in which we cry out to God, and many of you will know this, if not all of you. Well, we pray to God. When we cry out to God, we pray to the Lord. A prayer is a cry to God, and prayer is so vital. You cannot draw near to God without prayer. This is how a Christian becomes a Christian. He prays. This is how we know Christians are Christians, that they pray. And this is the question we have to ask ourselves. Do we pray? When we pray, well, there is a great promise even in this verse. When we pray, God will hear us. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. He will hear us. But by the way, when we cry out, it has to be genuine. It has to be sincere. When you cry out, when you pray to God, it has to be sincere. It has to be like a cry. Normally, when you cry out, it's normally sincere. I remember when I used to play football a long time ago in a team, sometimes somebody would be tackled and they would fall to the ground and roll around. But you know they weren't really injured because, they were just faking it. But sometimes there would be a tackle and you would know it was serious. How would you know it was serious? Because now they're actually crying out in pain. They're not rolling around on the floor. There's a cry, you see. Now it's genuine. Now it's sincere. You know this person is really hurt. And so this is what I say. In your prayers, you have to really mean it. You have to be heartfelt. You have to be sincere. So many times when we pray, we're not really meaning it. We're just going through the motions, just saying the words, Our Father which art in heaven, and we don't really mean it. But you have to pray as a cry. You're crying out to God. It's a heartfelt thing. It's genuine. You really need the Lord. So this is how we pray to the Lord. This is how we cry out. So it must be heartfelt. It must be genuine. And when it is genuine, then the Lord will hear us. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Well, this is the promise. You pray to God, you pray sincerely, you pray seriously. He will hear you. He will answer you. How many times do we sometimes cry out to people and they never hear us? They never answer us. I was making this point just the other day to somebody. You know, I'm always amazed. We live in a time when we all have phones. Every single one of us, every single individual has a phone. And yet how many times when you ring somebody, you never get an answer? This is symptomatic of our age. Everyone is able to be contacted, but hardly anybody actually answers you. And we all do this. We all see the name, we don't answer. But God is not like that. If we call, He will always answer us. He won't just put us off like we do. If we call with great sincerity and with great genuine nature and faith, well, then He will answer us. This is the character of God. This is the heart of God. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. We cry in any situation. We cry at any time of day or night. He will answer us. But look how he answers us. There's a special word here also. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. So David asks for mercy, and the Lord answers us with mercy. Now, mercy, it really speaks of God's grace. Now, what is God's grace? In other words, that God helps us freely. He helps us freely. You know, again, sometimes when you cry out for help, for somebody to help you, people are unwilling because, well, they might have many reasons. Perhaps they don't know you. And they say to you, why should I help you? I don't know you. You're not my friend. I'm not going to help you. Sometimes you cry out, people are unwilling. Or perhaps sometimes you ask for help and they will say, well, what's in it for me? I'll help you, yes, but what are you going to give me back? How much are you going to pay me? I'll help you if you pay me. I'm not going to do it freely. That is so often the way in this world. People will not help you unless there's something in it for them. But God is not like that. God helps us and blesses us freely, freely. Even though we have nothing to give God, we are poor and needy in his sight. God is almighty. God is from everlasting to everlasting. He doesn't need anything from anyone. He is a glorious God. We, by comparison, if we compare ourselves to God, we are so poor and needy. We can't give anything to God. We can't pay God anything for all the help he gives us, and yet he still helps us. In fact, well, it's worse than that, actually. Not only can we not pay God anything, well, we've actually sinned against God. This is what the Bible teaches us. Every single one of us, not only can we not pay God with any merit, we've all sinned against God. We've all done those things that God finds offensive in his most holy sight. We've all lied, we've all stolen, we've all coveted after things, we've all got angry for no reason at all, we've broken God's law. And yet for all of this, even though we've sinned against God, he still freely helps us. This is the heart of God. You know, there is a great hymn, and we're going to sing it a little bit later. And it has these wonderful words that I always treasure. Nothing but sin have I to give. Nothing but love will I receive. That's the heart of God. We have nothing to give God but our sin. When he looks at us, that's all we have. And yet he still loves us. Nothing but love shall we receive. That's the heart of God. This is his mercy, you see. He doesn't punish us in this sense because of our sin. He loves us and he gives us freely those things that we need. When we cry to him sincerely, when we cry to him for help, Lord, I need thee, as we again, we've just sung that. I need thee every hour. Guide me, help me, protect me. He will come and bless us freely. So no wonder David says here, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. But time is running on. Well, actually, I was meant to focus on that verse. Sorry, verse 8. This is the second part that we are to focus on. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So David has just called out. He's cried out to God, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And then there's this second part, which really is a response. God is saying to David, seek ye my face. So this is how it works. When you call out to God, well, it is as though God calls out to us. This is the response. You call out to God, and then God calls out to you. Again, if I can give an illustration to help you understand this, if you were lost somewhere, lost in the woods, and you called out to somebody, and somebody heard you, well, they would then call out to you. They would ask you, where are you? So you've called out for help, and somebody calls out to you, where are you? Tell me where you are. Tell me the landmark. Tell me your surroundings. This is how God deals with us. You call out to God. He calls out to you. He gives you instructions how to be saved, how to be rescued. And what does he say? What is the instruction? Well, he says here in verse 8, seek ye my face. This is the way to be saved. This is the way to be rescued. You're lost. Seek ye my face. Well, there is so much we could say about that. Seek ye my face. This is really the Lord calling us to know him personally. Calling us to know him personally. This is so important. Dear friends, isn't it true that it's only when you see the face of somebody that you really know them? Imagine having a wife or a husband or a best friend or a brother or a sister, and you had never seen their face. Imagine that. Well, yes, of course, you could have a kind of relationship with them, but there's something lacking in that relationship. There is something deficient in that relationship. You wouldn't really know the person fully. You wouldn't fully know them. You wouldn't fully know their true identity in a meaningful way. You've never seen their face. God says, seek ye my face. He wants us to know him fully and personally. Not just partly. You know, sometimes, and I say this quite often, I think in the Christian world, there are many people who would say they are Christians, but they don't really know the Lord fully. They know just a few things about God. They know about God. They know about theology. They perhaps know a little bit about the Bible, but they don't actually know God personally. They've never truly seen his face. They don't have that personal connection and relationship with God. That's what God is calling us to. That's what God is saying here. Seek ye my face. A personal, true relationship. The greatest relationship we can ever have. You ask a Christian, what is the best relationship in your life? It's with the Lord. It's with him. It's because you know him. It's because you know him personally. And you know his love. Again, it's so often the face that reveals the character of somebody and the beauty of somebody. You know, I'm not just talking about physical attractiveness, but when you see somebody's face, you can see their kindness. You can see their generosity. You can see their compassion. You can see their love. Sometimes when you see a parent looking at a child, you can see their face. You can tell this parent loves their child, or a child, when they look at their parent, you can tell from the face how much the child loves the parent. It's from the face. And so, dear friends, God is calling to us, seek ye my face. Know me, know my love. Know my love. And well, how do we do this? What is the face of God? I have to rush with this, but this is a very obvious thing, but perhaps some of us may be unaware of this. What is the face of God? Or rather, what I should say is, who is the face of God? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ is the face of God. When we look to Christ, we see God. Christ is God, the Lord Jesus. He is God. He's the Son of God, yes, but that means that he is God. He is equal with God the Father, the second person of the Trinity. And you know, when he was here on earth, what he said to his disciple was saying to him, show us the Father, show us God. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You want to see the face of God? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. He is the one that we need to know the Lord, to truly know God, to know him personally, to know his love. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have Christ, you cannot know these things. People look for Christ in all the wrong places. They look for Christ in other philosophies. They look for Christ in other religions. They will never truly know him. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can know God. Otherwise, well, the best you can see is the back part of God, the hinder parts. The hinder part of God you can see. It's only through Christ you can see the face of God, his love, his compassion, his true character, his personal nature. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so very important. There is something that the Apostle John said, very important for us. He said, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. We read this earlier. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So this teaches us about how much God loves us. How do I know that God loves me? Well, it's because he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, what does that word mean, propitiation? A long word, but really it means this, as I've already mentioned. We have all sinned against God. We have all lied. We have all stolen. We've done things that we would rather not tell anybody because they're so shameful. We all have secrets. And yet, well, instead of God punishing us, God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, to take the punishment instead of us, to be our substitute. You know what a substitute is? Somebody who comes on in your place. Well, we have sinned against God, but the Lord Jesus dies in our place. If we believe in him, if we trust in him, the propitiation for our sins, he has taken the punishment. And this is why we are shown mercy. This is why David can say, have mercy also upon me. Why should God have mercy upon David, a sinner? Well, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus has died for his sins. As I've already prayed, we can be forgiven because the Lord Jesus was forsaken. That was his cry. We've heard about David's cry here, but what did the Lord Jesus cry out on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hear his cry and believe it. He has been forsaken for you if you believe, so that God may show you mercy. This is so wonderful, dear friends. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, what wonderful words. God doesn't just want us to know his back, his hinder parts. Seek ye my face. And look at the response just very briefly. My heart, this is David, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Notice that it's the heart of David, that says to God, I will seek you. It's not just his head. Christianity is not an intellectual exercise. Again, you don't need to be particularly intelligent. You just need to be able to love. My heart. God has loved me so much. He sent his only begotten Son to die for me. I will love him with my heart. That's what's required. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Well, David says, I will seek after the Lord. And this is what we again say to seekers. If you want to know the Lord, there must be determination. There must be sincerity. No half-heartedness will do. If you are half-heartedly seeking after the Lord, you will not find him. David is saying, I will seek thy face. And so this is what we say to people, seek the Lord, seek that true personal relationship with him, not a half-hearted relationship, not halfway. Seek him and don't stop until you find him. Because we need him, dear friends. Every one of us, we will have to stand before God. We will have to give an account of our lives. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no fear. There's nothing to fear standing before God. Remember what David said, "Whom shall I fear?" We don't have to fear if we stand before God. Yes, we have sinned, but we can say to the Lord in faith, "The Lord Jesus, he died for my sins. He took the punishment because he loved me. And so there is no punishment for me. He died. He was forsaken. That was his cry. So now I can cry to you, Lord, have mercy upon me." And mercy is ours in Christ. Dear friends, this is the gospel. This is how it works. Go to the Lord, turn to him, cry to him, say, "Lord, give me that faith, give me that understanding, give me that sense of need. I know that I have sinned against God, but I know that God will forgive me when I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when I believe in him. He will surely hear my cry." Well, may the Lord bless these wonderful words to each and every one of us.